All of last week, the entire nation, in one sense, was glued to the Casey Anthony case. Not that we have other things that we should not worry about, like the national debt and all the debate about that, but we like drama. We like a little bit of intrigue. So everybody gets caught up in this case. When Casey was acquitted, it seems to me that almost was a public outrage. Whether she is guilty or innocent, the fact is the life of a child, it's gone. And nobody will be responsible for it. As I read today's readings and this case is being played out on television and in the media, one of the things that came to my mind is sometimes I don't think we as human beings understand the implications of even the simplest of our actions and the effect or the impact it can have on a global level, not just to us or to our families, but on a global level. I couldn't help but think about it, and there's a reason why I will get back to that theme in a little bit. But to really let today's readings affect us, not just superficially, but in a deep way, I think there are three elements that we need to understand and somehow bring it together so that we could let this reading touch our lives. The first is God's Word, which Isaiah says in today's first reading, does not return void to God, but does the will for which it is sent. It's the first element, God's Word. Second element is creation, which Paul says in today's second reading, was subjected to futility and is groaning in labor pains for redemption. Second element. And the third, the different kinds of soils, which in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, can either help the seed to bear fruit or wither. So let's talk about the first element, the Word of God. God says, my word is like rain that comes down from the heavens and which does not go back without bearing fruit. Now, the Word of God can be understood on multiple levels. First of all, God speaks. Not to anyone, but just God's word that is spoken for a purpose in the act of creation. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God wasn't speaking to anybody. The second is when God actually speaks to people. To Abraham, for example. To Moses. The third is when God speaks through people. Today's first reading is a great example. Through prophet Isaiah, God speaks his word. But the main thing to remember in all of this is that God and God's word are one. Sometimes it's not the case with us. It's two different things, what we speak and who we are. But in God's case, God and the Word are one. God is not different from God's Word. We know this even more because of Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word became flesh in human form, but the Word is God. So much for the Word of God. Then, creation. St. Paul, which he says is subjected to futility. Now, as I was reading commentaries about this particular passage, because it is not an easy one to understand, commentators tell us that what Paul understands by creation is that creation is apart from human beings. In the scriptural way of looking at it, creation is the context, the stage where human life is lived. even though human life is considered apart from creation, creation and human beings are intricately linked. How do we know this? When human beings sinned, not only were they banished from the garden, but creation is cursed. And that's what St. Paul means by creation was subjected to futility. And just as we wait for our God, for the second coming, for our redemption, St. Paul says all of creation is waiting for redemption. But keep in mind this one thing. Creation was subjected to futility not because of creation's sin, but human sin. One act led to the curse for all of creation. Thirdly, the soils. Again, reading commentaries about this parable last week, one of the commentators said, there is a surprise element in this parable. And the surprise element is this. The farmers in Palestinian times did not have seed to waste on rocky soil and on thorns and thistles, on soil that was bad. They did not have too much to do that. In fact, they were very careful that every seed fell on fertile soil so they get the maximum fruit out of it. So then what's the surprise element? The surprise element is God's generosity. In other words, God's word, like a farmer who may have plenty of seed, God allows his word to fall on all kinds of people. Whether people reject it or accept it, God's word, like the rain, is there for all people. God's word is generous. Redemption is plentiful for those who will allow the seed to bear fruit in them. So now how do we bring these three elements together so that we can get something out of life for us? So here are my three practical implications then for us today. The first, if God and God's word are one, if God created the world by God's word, if, as Isaiah says, God's word will not return void to God, but shall do God's will, then I think today's readings are really an invitation for us to take God's word and give it the rightful place that it deserves. See, I think in every Christian home, the Word of God, and by which it could be the Bible, because that is where God speaks to us, that I think the Word of God should have a very special and central place in every home. I almost think that there should be a tabernacle at home where the Word of God is kept, because that is a sacrament as well. Just like the body and blood is a sacrament, God's word and God are one. And when we take the word of God and give it a very central place in our home, it begins to affect our own consciousness. We then begin to take the word of God and make it a central theme for our own lives. So wouldn't it be great if every home had a little tabernacle where the word of God is kept, and everybody knows that? There are no harsh words said where the word of God is at the center. When there are difficult times, everyone goes to the word. When there are times to be joyful and thrilled about, everyone goes to the word in gratitude. It may be symbolic. What we do in our homes then begins to enter into our subconscious as God's word being powerful, awesome, life-giving, and the most important thing in our lives. And especially for us Catholics, I think we need to, even though the word of God is very important than it was 50 years ago for us, I think we need to be more conscious about letting this word affect us in some deep way. So that's my first point. Secondly, I want to talk about creation that is waiting in labor pains for redemption. So today's readings seem to help us to understand that our most private acts have global implications. I wonder about Adam and Eve. If Adam and Eve had thought about the global implication of what they were going to do, eating the fruit. If only they knew what the impact of it would be for generations and generations for people like us, would they have actually eaten the fruit? Well, maybe we can say they didn't know because they were the first human beings. But we know. We know the impact of our actions. We know the impact of their actions. And for those of us who followed the Casey Anthony case, we realize the impact of simple choices on the entire society. I heard the other day that Ohio was going to enact a law by which unless when a child was missing, if they were not reported within a certain amount of time, that there would be, you know, serious consequences. One person's stupid choice now ends up impacting all of society. Our simple choices. So I guess what I'm going to say is, we who are people of the Word, we who have the Word of God at our disposal, we need to be consciously aware that our actions, God, may they all be redeeming actions. If we live our lives by the Word of God, then our lives will be redeeming lives like that of Jesus. And finally, let's talk about the different kinds of soils. This week would be a good week to examine our lives to see how much influence God and God's Word has on our lives. Now, the way I read this parable for myself is my life, in my own heart, I think there are all kinds of soils. It's not that my life is completely fertile or my life is completely rocky. No. There are parts of my life where God's Word bears rich fruit. And there are parts of my life that I know I could do much better. Hopefully, there are no areas of my life where my life is so rocky that God's Word has no influence. Hopefully not. But if you look into your own lives, examine and see, are there areas in your lives that are contrary to God's commands? Are there aspects in your life, your relationship, your finances, your social life, your thinking, your talking, your acting, that are not in alignment with God? What are the areas of your life that are rocky? And then you could transform that into a place that is a fertile soil for God. Only you and I, examining our lives, can figure that out. So let me conclude by merely saying this. You think the Word of God has a central place in your life? For example, God just spoke to us. God just spoke God's Word to us. What are we going to do with this Word this week? What influence is the Word that you read going to have in your life this week? As we prepare to receive Christ, the eternal Word of God, in bread and wine, may our lives become a fertile place for God's Word to bear fruit. May God's Word accomplish in our lives what God has sent this Word to accomplish. And the people of God said,